language, hand signs,
all that kind of stuff. He's not here to say this defendant did this thing. Like, that's not the purpose of an expert. Mm-hmm. And even then, an expert's opinion is still just an opinion. You know, that just gets lost. Every time you think you're having a bad day, what I want you to remember is what it must be like to be a juror on this case.
Oh, wow.
You know, that's not a positive affirmation that I don't know what is.
If you're not ready, then go ahead and tell me you're not ready.
I object to you getting records. You've been intrusive into people's personal lives.
In other words, the car didn't hit him and he wasn't hit by the car.
I'm not a lawyer, but...
Are y'all keeping up?
I'm not a lawyer, but...
The Debrief.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of I'm Not a Lawyer, But...
The Debrief.
I am Mel, a.k.a. I'm Not a Lawyer, But, and I'm joined by my co-host...
Goosebay. How y'all doing?
And before we get into it, we want to thank our sponsor. Hello, BetterHelp. We are going to tell you a little more about them in this episode. But now let's kind of dive right in. It's going to be a YSL day. There's been a ton going on in YSL. And so we have a guest that's going to join us because there is something in particular I kind of want to go through. So if you are not a YSLian, if you are not keeping up or you fallen off.
YSLian.
Yes. Okay. YSLian. It was like a mix.
That was.
Of YSL and ATL. So Kenneth Copeland was brought back to the stand this week. He was asked if he intends to testify, and he said yes. He was given the correct information about his testimony and his contempt if he chooses not to testify. And so he was given that information and decided to testify. And so he has been on the stand, and after going through a number of questions, the attorney, Simone Hilton, who is the district attorney on the prosecutor side, has started playing his police interviews. So she asked him a bunch of questions and then played the interviews in which he gave the answers that he gave at that point. And what has taken place this week is that Brian Steele submitted a motion in limine, a motion to basically say, hey, judge, exclude this document that the prosecutors are trying to use, this evidence that they are trying to use, should be excluded. And so he submitted this motion, and he also included the evidence, or what they're trying to use as evidence, which is a PowerPoint. So I made a video about this PowerPoint and the significance of the PowerPoint and what's included in the PowerPoint. So the PowerPoint is basically the state's theory on this whole case. So in the video I made, I basically said, if you want to understand why they brought this case, this PowerPoint kind of answers that. And so that essentially is what the PowerPoint is. It's their theory. But what becomes very clear also as you look at the PowerPoint is that their theory is built on much of their theory is built on the police interviews that Kenneth Copeland gave to police, because what he says in the interviews, it's also what's in this PowerPoint. So I'm just going
so they're to, really trying to go forward with this PowerPoint.
So
I thought it was just.
So here's the thing.
OK,
the PowerPoint. Also, I just want to note that the person who was one of the key murders to this case is a man named Donovan Thomas, who's AKA is Nut, and that they call this Operation Planter.
How
you get it?
Well, dang.
I think they were trying. I think that's the connection here. Anyway,
that's
sorry.
Terrible, man.
I just,
yeah, true.
You see the peanuts? Anyway, so this is their entire theory. And I mean, it goes through everything. Right. So they have previously brought this up, and the previous judge, whose name was Glanville, said it could not be used. So they are trying again, it seems, to use this. And Brian Steele is saying, no, you can't use this. If you're unaware, the man in this image on the left is Kenneth Copeland Woody, who has been testifying, and then the man on the right is Kelvin Watts, aka Shell Kell, who he has testified a lot about that he and Shell Kell don't get along. So the state's whole theory is that this beef started, and it literally says here, the beef between Mr. Kenneth Copeland and Kelvin Watts is what fueled the ongoing beef. So their claim is that all of this really started between these two. And then it goes through all of these things. It starts with this shooting at a gambling house in zone three. It goes to something that Kenneth Copeland has spoke about on the stand, which is that on January 6th, he was at a club, and after flashing some money, he was then essentially jumped. And this incident also just kind of fueled this beef, right? Like, he gets jumped. And so it starts to become this like retaliation thing that happens. And one of the early incidents is that Donovan Thomas, AKA Nut, is killed, right? And so this happens on the 10th of January. So Kenneth Copeland is jumped essentially at a club on the 6th of January. And then within 4 days, this man is killed. And so then it's like all out war. Again, this is all according to the state. This is their PowerPoint. This is their theory.
Their theory. Exactly. Nothing is fact.
So the problem with that is you can theorize all day.
That's what I'm saying.
What court is about is proof. You have to prove what you are saying. And so they are essentially saying that they should be able to use a detective who worked on this investigation as a way to introduce this PowerPoint to the jurors as evidence. And when you say evidence, that means it's things that they can use in their deliberation. They can take with them to discuss and review and go back over. And so they want to enter it in as evidence. And Brian Steele is saying not so fast.
So we're going to take a break from the show, I'm Not a Lawyer, But the Debrief, and tell you about our sponsor, BetterHelp. All right, now, what are you all self-care non-negotiables? Mine is working out, okay? Now, if I don't get the workout, man, it ruins really the rest of my day. I get down, I feel like my working out plan is just falling off, and I'm not doing things right, and it really screws me up, okay? I'm talking about just attitudes for the rest of the day, all right, with everybody. Now, well, you know what? Let me say I used to get mad, all right? Because now, since I had couples therapy, I use the, what did they tell me? They taught me how to count my wins, all right? So since I missed working out, right, I'm down about that, but I counted my wins, okay? So I got my sleep and I ate well. So that's a win, and I should take that and move forward, all right? So couples therapy helped me work through that, and that's the benefit of having therapy. You dig? Okay. Now, if you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try, all right? It's entirely online. It's convenient, and it's flexible to your schedule, okay? So just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. Now, if you don't like that therapist, if y'all don't click, they'll match you up with another one. And if y'all don't click with that one, they'll match you up with another one. So eventually, you're going to get the right therapist for you, okay? So never skip a therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/lawyer.
Lawyer.
Today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lawyer.
Lawyer.
Back to the show.
So one of the things that's included in this document that Brian Steele has raised, and Brian Steele was ready to go page by page in explaining why this should not be able to be used, but the state was basically like, we're not ready for that. Hold on. But one of the things that's included is that July 15th, 2015, Jeffrey Williams, Young Thug's home was searched. And Brian Steele says this was an illegal search, and we've already addressed this in court. So the fact that, right? So what that means is that this was deemed illegal, an illegal search. Mm-hmm. So the fact that the state would think that they can include that search and what was found in that search in a PowerPoint in this case is wild. You can't do that. It doesn't work like that. And so anyway, that's just one example. There are a ton of things in here that Brian Steele is like, this is crazy that they think that any of this is admissible. Beyond it just being incorrect information, it is not fact. It is theory. And you have to prove it. So anyway, that is essentially what we're going to be talking about. And our guest looks like has just joined us. So let me bring her in. So we are so excited to have a guest with us today. Her name is Stara. She is an attorney. She's based in Dallas. And we are going to talk a little bit about YSL and some of the chaos that has been happening. So thank you so much for being here and joining us. So excited to have you.
I am excited to share my opinions.
So I was just going over the PowerPoint. One of the things that I recently made a video about for YSL is the fact that Brian Steele has submitted this motion, a motion in limine, to basically have this PowerPoint excluded. And I made that video and your comments, of course, drew my attention and regarding the inadmissibility of the PowerPoint. So to start off, anytime we have attorneys join us, I love to have them kind of educate a little bit the audience and me because I'm not a lawyer. So can you talk a little bit about the difference between admissible evidence and inadmissible evidence?
I mean, it's obviously such a broad topic. But, you know, so I went through, you sent me, you know, kind of the text of the motion before we got to the pictures. And I mean, to be honest with you, it's like, I don't even know what their theory of admissibility is with regards to this PowerPoint, because it's just, it's so patently inadmissible that it's crazy. So I will answer the question you asked, but to kind of get to why it's so shocking to me.
Please.
Is, okay. So I think, you know, I'm sure your followers have picked up on the fact that like a police report isn't admissible, right? It's hearsay. This is tantamount to that. Like, I watched your video when they had initially had this argument with Glanville. And I think he kind of scolded the defense a little bit because why are we just now talking about this?
Right.
And what one of the attorneys said, and he's just so on point, it's crazy, was I didn't think I would have to do this.
Yes. Matt like, Sharp.
I get discovery of police reports all the time. I'm not filing a motion in limine on a police report because I would never even anticipate that somebody would try and offer that. Yes. Like, that is how absurd this PowerPoint is. But to sort of answer the question more broadly.
No, this is great.
So, you know, one of the things that Steele says in this motion is that it has no probative value. And there are certainly plenty of things in there that have no probative value. For example, Mr. Peanut is on the first page. Is he being called as a witness? relevance, you know, like that's just like a threshold matter before you can get to any other objections. Obviously, things have to be relevant. And I can speak as to individual relevance issues in this PowerPoint.
And I just stop you quickly just because you use the word probative, which I am familiar with. Okay, perfect. Do you think?
Okay, so obviously probative evidence is really kind of anything that gets at like the heart of the matter at hand. You know, does it serve any purpose in the jury into figuring out what the truth is, right? An objection that, you know, is used all the time is that something is more prejudicial than probative. So, you know, for example, if you have a murder case, and we can say murder here, right? I don't have to say analyzing.
You don't have to say analyzing.
I've turned into Kayla Bumpus about that, where I'm just saying analyzing all the time.
Yes.
But so in a murder case, for example, you have autopsy photos, right? You have, you get literally hundreds of autopsy photos when an autopsy is done. And I mean, you know, let's say somebody stabbed in the heart. Well, they're going to take a picture of this person's genitalia, for example. You're not going to offer that, right? It's not relevant. It's not probative to any issue. No one is saying anything happened to that part of their body.
Yeah.
But you also, even if somebody was stabbed, you can't just show 40 pictures of the gruesomeness of their stabbing and, you know, like they pop open your chest whenever you have an autopsy. We can use that picture even if it shows like the arteries that were cut, because that's more prejudicial than probative. The purpose of offering that kind of evidence is to inflame the jury. Like, look at how terrible what happened to this person was. But is that really helping the jury understand anything better than maybe some less, you know, inflaming picture, right?
Right, right.
You know, these slides have a lot of like commentary and opinion evidence. And, you know, with experts, there's a lot to talk about with that. Speculation. This thing is just chock full of speculation because it's full of assertions that, as the judge pointed out the other day when they were talking about this, are ultimately issues for the trier of fact, right? Mm-hmm. Like whether or not any one of these people did any one of these things is what the jury is deciding. Yes, literally. So it's not, gang expert isn't here to tell you that Young Thug was involved in this particular whatever.
Yeah.
He's here to explain to you, you know, the particulars of gang life and argue to the jury, basically, well, here's why we should think that these people were a member of a criminal street gang, right. Whatever.
The color, the language, the hand signs.
All that kind of stuff. He's not here to say this defendant did this thing. Like, that's not the purpose of an expert. Mm-hmm. And even then, an expert's opinion is still just an opinion.
Yeah.
You know, that just gets lost. Like in Karen Reed, for example, you saw experts on either side and people are like, well, but the defense expert said this. Okay, I hear you. And that, you know, may create a reasonable doubt, but that is still just an opinion for the jury to evaluate, right?
Yeah. Yep.
There's a ton of hearsay in this. I mean, it's just a big fat piece of hearsay, basically. Yeah. Confrontation clause issues. So, and I think there was argument about this morning. So like there was like an Instagram post, I think, that was at issue.
Yep.
And the date on it, and correct me if I'm wrong, was like, it showed the date that it was posted, right?
So it had January 10th on it, which is the day that Donovan Thomas was killed. Mm-hmm. But it seems that it was posted not on that date. So it was a date inserted, but that wasn't the actual date it was posted.
Okay, and that gets at relevance, right? Because, I mean, I could go right now and post a picture of a body and say, Young Thug did this. Does that make it true? Is that evidence a jury should see? Right. So if you have an Instagram post, and I think Instagram comments have been discussed as well.
Exactly, yep.
All this. So let's say it's my Instagram account and I'm a witness. Okay, well, I can get up there and testify. I took this picture on next day. These are the people in the picture. And the date that's reflected on the screenshot is the date that I posted it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody starts leaving comments, what do I know about who left those comments?
Right.
You know, like each piece of an exhibit there has to be a sponsoring witness for each piece of that.
Mm.
Like, say, for example, a lot of times, like if you're trying to explain... And cut me off if I'm being like too
long. No, you're good.
Okay. So let's say you're going to use a map to show the distance between two locations in a trial.
Okay.
I mean, commonly what people do is just go to Google Maps and print it out, right?
Yep.
Well, literally the words around it that identify street A and point B, you know, the two places that you're talking about.
Yeah.
You're not actually supposed to use the map with those words on it. Mm-hmm. You need to put a picture of that and have a witness say it's here and here.
You're right.
That's hearsay.
Mm.
So, you know, these Instagram posts are like chock full of hearsay and, you know. And
to the point that you were just making about the confrontation clause, I mean, they've been talking about hearsay and that throughout this entire trial, but in the PowerPoint, there are a ton of comments about, and this assertion from the state that after Donovan Thomas died, people were basically commenting to Thug and as well to Woody, Kenneth Copeland, to say, you guys did this, basically, we're coming after you.
And that's in the Instagram comments, is that what you mean?
Correct, yes. Okay. And one of the things that Brian Steele, Max Starr, everyone has raised is confrontation clause. We have the right to interview, to cross-examine these people. If you're going to be using things that they have said, I have the right to ask them about what they have said. And throughout this trial, things have just been able to be slid in without any like checking, without stopping, without any like gatekeeping.
I mean, I haven't watched every second of this trial, but anytime I take a look, that's what I see.
Yeah.
You know, okay, so let's say this Instagram picture gets into evidence and there's comments below it. Or let's say I make a comment on my Instagram. I can testify that I made that comment, but everything else has to be blacked out unless you want to bring in somebody to say, well, my name on Instagram is Billy Bob, and I'm the person that made that comment.
Got it.
But, you know, then you get back to all the other objections. Well, okay, so I said, yeah, so that's what happened. Well, why do I know that? You know?
You
can say anything. I mean, God, we live on the internet. You can say anything. That doesn't make it true. It's absurd. It's
absurd. No, I love that's your reaction. Go ahead.
That's what I was about to say. So now everything on the internet is being, you can submit this in a case and use it as proof.
I mean, no, but that's how they're acting, right? Yeah. Like, you know, what we're, how many months into this trial? Oh my gosh.
The actual trial started in November, but jury selection was January.
Well, wow. I mean, can you imagine being the jury? And this is completely irrelevant to what we're talking about, but it's something that blows my mind every day. We're all like watching this and being like, what the heck? We can talk about it at least.
Yeah.
They literally can't discuss this with anyone. Can you imagine watching Woody testify and not be able to discuss it with anybody?
I cannot.
But yeah, to the extent that we're talking about things getting in that shouldn't have, yeah, like you're just wasting so much time. And if you can't prove a case in 6 months, you can't prove your case.
Hello?
Like I just don't get it. Like I lost my train of thought here, but like, you know, this is my theory. And again, this is not even why you brought me here.
It's fine.
But so, you know, Georgia is one of the few states, maybe the only, I don't even know, that has a RICO charge, right? So the only reason I can think of that they decided to do this way is because what they want, because they have charged some of these individuals with individual acts in addition to the RICO.
Yes.
Because they want, they know they can't prove those individual acts. Mm. If they could, they would just try them on that because those allegations have a much higher punishment range than the RICO punishment range, which is only 2 to 20. So it's basically like a backwards way of getting in character evidence and all of this stuff. And just to make you think, well, these guys are obviously involved in all this bad stuff. So isn't it, didn't they do this other stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what any individual in this did. I'm sure they didn't land here by accident.
Right. But... Yeah. Yeah. I would love to.
I told you I would just be doing this the whole time. I am following through.
Can you talk about one of the things that Brian Steele raised when he was addressing this motion orally with the judge? He said that this is a closing statement. This is not evidence. And from what I know, not being a lawyer, right? The whole, I think of, and I've talked about this on the podcast, opening and closing statements are the opening and closing to your paper, right? They are your hypothesis. They are your, I'm in this paper, I'm going to show. And then the middle of the paper is you showing it. And then my conclusion is a reminder of, look what I've shown you. And so for him to say that, it's like, this is what they're supposed to be proving, but then at the end you tie it together. But the big difference here is that evidence is things that the jury can use. Is that accurate, right? Like that's what they can
use.
Opening and closings cannot be used.
Well, so opening, you can't make argument, right? Like it's just to kind of give people an overview, which how would you even do that in this situation?
Yeah.
But argument is basically like deductions from the evidence. Like I gave you A, I gave you B. And while during testimony, you couldn't explicitly say, well, A and B together means C, that's your time to say that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what Steele says is very accurate. Like, this was never been my personal preference, but a lot of people do it. And you would do it in this case because there's so much evidence to make a slideshow to kind of go behind you while you're arguing your case to the jury, because there's so much stuff, right, that who could remember it? And that's, they're kind of sneaking that in early, right? Yeah. Because there's no way you would, I mean, I can't even imagine how much time the judge is going to give them to argue this case.
Oh,
I mean,
goodness.
2 years, like, honestly. But like, this is a way of like getting that in now, because there's just so much that's going on that's unclear. Like, you know, like what's going on with Woody? Like I have given some context to this because I'm sure people who don't have law degrees are like, what? Nobody understands why he's being asked all these questions. The jury can't ask anybody, and the lawyers can't tell them this is what we're doing.
Right.
And that's kind of what's going on with the trial generally in this slideshow. Like, you would prepare something like this, but it would, the only things that would be in it would be actually admitted evidence.
Evidence.
Not Mr. Peanut, you know?
Yeah. And I actually want to highlight what you just said. Sorry, were you going to say something?
No, the Mr. Peanut situation is wild.
It's not a significant part of it, but it shows how stupid it is.
Yes, yes, man. Come on.
One of the things that you highlighted that I've spoken a little bit about as well is that Kenneth Copeland is a key witness for the state, right? A lot that this PowerPoint and their theory is built a lot on these interviews, these police interviews that he had in 2015. And so you can't, if Kenneth Copeland gets on the stand and pleads the fifth and says, I'll go to jail, talk a little bit about the effect of what happens to these police interviews being able or not being able to be played in court, and what's happening. Can you talk? I know you did some content about this as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's so good. Such a broad topic, but just so, you know, I don't know who on here who's watching, who understands like why they're asking all these questions. And I think probably explained this to some degree, but in order to get these prior inconsistent statements in, he has to first be given an opportunity to deny all the things that he said in the past. And that's why he's a hostile witness. Because he's saying, I don't remember, or he's testifying, you know, against the position of the party that called him, right? So that's why we're doing this painful line by line, because he has to, like, every single thing that he said in these videos, he has to deny it before they can play it. And God, it's like hard to talk about, but so that wouldn't have come in if he had just taken the, or I guess right. He can't take the fifth, but if he had just said, well, I'll go into contempt.
Yeah.
I mean, my question is, what was their plan if that didn't happen? Like, or if that did happen, I don't know.
That's why we have an ex parte. I think that's okay. Why we had the ex parte.
Okay. And I watched some of that discussion this morning as well. And I mean, yeah, like, yeah. I don't agree with the judge's ruling that they shouldn't be able to ask about the things that Glanville said, because to the extent you're arguing that Hilton's statements were pressure, how is that argument not also applicable to the judge?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't know that Woody would ever view Hilton or Love as authority figures. Right. And, you know, obviously he has a bit of contempt for the judicial system.
Yeah.
But he certainly sees the judge as somebody who actually has the power to throw him in jail. Mm-hmm. And so that to me is more pressure than what the prosecutors are saying. And so I don't really understand her distinction. And, you know, I don't want to cast aspersions because I don't know everything that's happened, but I don't know how this isn't to protect Glanville.
Yeah. Mm. Right.
I don't know. And, you know, I mean, there's the thing. Nobody's told the jury explicitly what's going on. Once they hear about this ex parte and that's the moment all this changed, they're going to put that together.
Anyway. Yeah. Yeah. Such a good point.
I just, juries are a lot smarter than you want to give them credit for sometimes, you know, like I think people think that like, oh, you know, like scientific evidence, for example, well, this is confusing and they don't understand it and whatever else. But like people really do try. Like even if I've disagreed with the jury's verdict, like you can talk to them afterwards and you'll be like, oh, I don't agree with that, but I understand how you got there.
Right.
Like, I mean, I don't even know if this is answering the question. Directly,
no, it's fine. That's great.
But you know, I don't understand what their plan was if Woody wasn't gonna testify. And you know, I don't think these tapes are helping.
That's what I was going to ask you. Go ahead.
My question about the tapes. So he's not agreeing that he said anything truthful the entire time. Yeah, I said that. Mm-hmm. So
including now, I guess.
Including now. I mean, you can ask him anything. He's like, I'm going to lie to you. I'm going to ask me my name. I'm a liar.
I mean, he called himself Mr. Make-Believe. He said, I'm Mr. Make-Believe.
I really loved that. You know, he's nothing if not charming.
Yes.
So how do you even move forward with someone like this? Do you not just say
you wouldn't call
mistrial, them. Y'all, let's wipe everything clean. You guys are probably gonna end up back here soon enough. I see y'all on the next round.
Well, yeah. I mean, sometimes you just have to can I cuss?
Yes.
Yeah. No, let's just go.
Oh yeah.
You know, people do bad stuff and sometimes they just get away. You know,
yes.
And I don't even know if that's true here.
Yeah.
But, you know, like if your whole case, you can't put it together without a person who behaves like Woody does.
What's so interesting is that he has been in a class of his own. But there are other defendants that they have called that have behaved very similarly. We had a ton of, I don't recalls, get me off the stand. One man said, take me back to the only department I know is Department of Corrections. Yep. Take me back. Like, there has been so many. And the next two witnesses after Kenneth Copeland, I imagine, this is my speculation, I imagine they're going to answer in the same way. To build your case this way, is just an interesting choice.
Yeah,
that is a really nice way to put it. I understand these people have been prosecutors for a long time. You know, they've seen some shit, you know. Yeah. But like, to the extent that, you know, a person like Woody exists in the world, I run into Woodies all the time, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, my clients treat me this way because like I have to tell them the truth sometimes and nobody wants to hear it. Right.
Yeah.
Like the thing that the prosecution seems to be missing is that like some people are just about this life and you're not going to scare them. Their mm-hmm. every day when they're at home is a lot scarier than whatever it is you're going to do.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just anticipate that they're going to go back to jail at some point, and they understand that that's just like a part of their existence.
Yeah.
And you can think whatever you want about that, but it doesn't make them good witnesses for a trial.
Yes, and it's just, exactly.
This was just so easily foreseen.
Yeah.
100%.
I feel like you've answered all my questions. This was so good.
I mean, I have a lot to say.
It was great.
So do the videos hold any weight though? Like,
I don't know how they do because, you know, you see Woody doing the same stuff he's doing in the courtroom with the police. And, mm-hmm. you know, I have my own theory about this, and I don't know if anybody wants to hear it as to what the police were doing with Woody. But here's what they were doing with Woody.
Okay.
The police knew Woody knew stuff.
Yeah.
The police knew Woody was associated with people that were doing stuff the whole time, right? What they wanted was Woody to give them enough information, even if they didn't believe it, to put it in a warrant. And then they thought, okay, we'll get an arrest warrant on a couple more people about some stuff that Woody told us. Somebody's going to fall. Somebody's mm-hmm. going to be the one that rolls over on everybody else. And then we'll actually put our case together. And, you know, I think that that has happened with some people. I don't know all of the stuff that happened before this trial, but I think there were some people that took deals, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I don't think that they got any of the people they really wanted to, right? Yeah. They weren't like the big players, is my understanding. And now it's like, instead of just being like, well, that didn't work, 10 years later, we're here. Yeah. I mean, the most salient point that Woody makes is, if you guys believe this stuff 10 years ago, why am I only here now?
10 years
ago? I was looking at the screen like, you're right, Woody. That's the best thing you've ever said right here.
You know what happened today? So they're playing the 8-9 hour police interview that he had. It was literally 9 hours. It was so long. And they had multiple investigators in there asking him questions. And I still have to do my recap from today. But one of the things that Woody has said on the stand is that when you dangle a name in front of me, that tells me that you're looking for information on them. And then I make up a story. He literally told Simone mm-hmm. Hilton, I'll make up a story about you right now. If they told me to, I'll make up a story about Donald Trump. You tell me a name and I got you. I
saw the Donald Trump clip this morning. Yeah. But it's true, you know?
Yeah. So what's so interesting is today, as I'm watching the police interview, he's in there for hours. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Detective Gaither says to him, exactly what you just said. You are not the big fish. And she said, it's not even no offense or disrespect to you, but you're not a big fish. And I want a big fish. Mm-hmm. I want bodies. I want a lot of guns and I want big fish. So, and so she then said, thug, literally said his name.
Wow.
After that, Woody said, you know, Jay Prince in Houston, that big dog in Houston. And mm-hmm. the detective said, yes. And he said, Doug said he wants to be the next him for Atlanta. And I literally in my mind, I said, oh my gosh, he just did exactly what he said mm-hmm. on the stand. Like, to watch it in action was wild.
That's the thing that the state didn't, I mean, they watched these tapes and they thought this was convincing. I mean, so the thing that you just described, so like, let's say you're doing a lineup, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like trying to identify a person who allegedly committed an offense. You know what the police don't do? Show you just one picture. They show you six and then you got to pick one. It's the same thing, like, and suggestible lineup. So like, if you get a lineup where the person you're looking for is white and you put them in a lineup with six black people, you can't admit that lineup because it's not a good ID. And that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
What a good analogy. That was great.
I love an analogy. I mean, I do. And I think that that's why people are like responding to the stuff I'm posting is I think that's the best way to get people to understand is like, okay, maybe you don't understand all these rules of evidence, but you can look at this scenario that's analogous.
Yeah.
And figure out what it is that's actually going on.
Can you tell us a little bit? So you're based in Dallas, you're a criminal defense attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And so you are insanely busy, I'm sure. But you have been keeping up with this case a little bit and posting and making content. So tell the people where they can find you, kind of what you're up to, so that we can include all your information when we post this as well.
It's Tarra Stara. It's S-T-A-R-A. And, you know, luckily, because I'm a criminal defense attorney, that means I spend a lot of time in my car. So that's kind of how I keep up with this situation and your videos, honestly.
Thank you.
You know, you do a really great job of distilling the 9 hours of BS to the like 5 minutes that matter. And somebody has to do it. And it's you. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm really doing is, you know, I try too much to not take a side about anything. I mean, obviously I have one and I try and leave out as much editorial as possible. But you know, what I'm trying to do is take the events that we're seeing in the courtroom and make them accessible to people who, you know, like this Woody thing is a great example, right? Mm-hmm. Like we see all this. Everybody was like, well, why are they doing this? Well, why would you know that? You know, you wouldn't even know what to Google to figure that out, you know? And so that's what I try to do is take the events that we're seeing and make them like digestible. Kind of the same thing you're doing, just for a different reason.
Also, you're a lawyer and I'm not.
I mean, I'm not going to be the 97th person to tell you that you should do that, but I mean, I don't recommend being.
Well, I do. I encourage people. Even well, when
instead
they
of sitting in her car, well, where she's sitting in the room all day reading and writing and stuff, so she could go from there to a car.
No, I'm not going to be an attorney, but I do tell people to consume the content of actual attorneys, because I, to the point you're making, I do read and watch and try to understand it. But obviously there's a ton that I don't know. So anytime we can have the expert. I mean,
you're doing fine without it. And, you know, remember that if you ever decided to go to law school at some point, you would have to talk to Woody or someone.
Make my decision with that in mind.
It's funny to watch it when you don't have to be a part of it.
Absolutely. I imagine it would change a ton. Well, thank you so much. Anything else you want to add, say, before we let you go? Feel free.
I mean, I don't know. Just every time you think you're having a bad day, what I want you to remember is what it must be like to be a juror on this case.
Oh, wow.
You know, that's not a positive affirmation that I don't know what is.
Yeah, 100%. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. So the Patreon's loving you. Thank you so much for doing this, for being here. We'll make sure again to put all your information on there. Everybody follow Attorney Stara, and I'm sure I'll reach out again.
Yep. Thanks for having me. This is really fun. My boyfriend
nice meeting you.
Listening to me. So
we'll have him next time. Okay.
He is a lawyer.
Oh, well, there we go.
Listen. The next big case coming out of Dallas, we're going
to
have
I'll talk to him about it, but he's going to say no.
Oh, okay, no. That's fair. All right, have a good one.
Thank you.
All right.
So thank you again to Attorney Stara for joining us. That was great. We always love commentary from actual attorneys. But the other thing before we go that we wanted to highlight is that we have a verdict in Susan Lorenz, the woman who was charged with manslaughter for the death of her neighbor, AJ Owens.
Yep. And she got justice.
Yeah.
Yep. So she was found guilty.
Amen.
She wasn't sentenced they didn't sentence her today, but she was found guilty. And I think that the state did their job.
Yeah. I mean, we just were talking about how we felt. I specifically felt that they were not emphasizing as much as the defense was. Mm-hmm. And so it was, I didn't have a ton of faith, if I will be honest, considering everything that we knew. I already mentioned the jurors, mm-hmm. the makeup of the jury, as well as, again, the presentation of the case. I was hoping that the jurors would be able to get to the root of the trial, the root of the case, which is that her door was shut and locked. And were you really in fear, imminent yeah. fear of your life, so much that you had to use deadly force as the reaction? And it didn't even take a long time. The jurors probably deliberated for
about an hour. I would say two.
I was going to say, I feel like between three.
Because they came back and asked about
the
door being fixed. And that's when I was like, oh my goodness.
What's going to happen? Yeah.
Why is this door a situation? The door was locked, deadbolted, locked. The young lady, Susan, said, I locked the door. I'm not in danger, on the phone.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, here we go.
Well, and in addition, they also asked for the 911 calls. They mm-hmm. asked for those to be played as well. So it was just interesting to, I never know. We never know. We're always just consuming as well. But it's nice. It's good to hear that in this case, in my opinion, okay, that justice was served and that she was found guilty. We'll obviously see what her sentence will be. Mm-hmm. It is nice to know that she was found guilty. So with that said, we will wrap this one out. Thank you for joining. Thank you for being here. Like I said, follow our guests, follow us. I'm not mm-hmm. a lawyer, but on all the things, okay? YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, follow my co-host.
Goolzby, that's Goolzby on IG and Building with Goose on YouTube. Yeah.
And with that, we'll holla at y'all.
Court adjourned.